Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is 8:05 on Tuesday, January 27th. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us in studio today, the Reverend Bill Liebman, pastor at associate pastor. What's your title at Emmanuel Barnhart?
Officially a visitation pastor.
Visitation pastor at Emmanuel Barnhart. Good to have you back in studio today, pastor. Good to have you here with us, Pastor Liebman.
Thank you. I really enjoy the invitation.
Well, thanks for coming up. It's always fun to get to have some time together in studio to study God's Word. How are things going at Emmanuel Barnhart? You and Pastor Meissner there and keeping people in God's Word and delivering His good gifts.
Things are always happening. it seems like there's always something going on at church and something we're always getting into. And sometimes my wife thinks we should just move down there.
So getting into now you and Pastor Meissner never get into any trouble, though, do you? You don't do anything to get into trouble, do you?
Oh, heavens no.
You two behave yourself, right? Well, we are studying Romans chapter 15 today, and we're looking at verses 1 through 13. Is that right?
14 through 33.
Let me get that right. I typed in the wrong stuff this morning. I read the right one earlier. That's why it sounded funny when I said that part. All right, let's take a look at Romans chapter 15, 14 through 33 is what we're looking at today. So here we're going to dig into some more of Paul's writing. Anything you'd like for us to know about this before we dig into Romans 15, verses 14 through 33?
Well, this particular passage, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. I don't think he's ever been there before. As far as whether any of the apostles have been to Rome, we don't have any record of that at this prior to this time. It seems as though the people he's writing to are people that he knew in Asia and Achaia and Macedonia, who had moved to Rome and set up a church then in Rome. And so now he's writing to them, letting them know that even though he has never been there, he is aware of their being there and he is concerned for their welfare.
All right, let's dig into Romans chapter 15 today, verses 14 through 33. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go. Let's take a look. Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. All right. I myself, verse 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Pastor?
Well, what kind of goodness? Is he talking about how good the people are? Or is he talking about how good God is in the people because of the faith that they have, which receives the goodness of Jesus Christ? That's the key there. So many people see that goodness as, oh, I have to obey the law in order to become a Christian. No, we obey the law because we're Christian. As a result of our love for God, we want to, we don't have to.
The cause and effect here are different than what we anticipate normally.
Yes.
Okay, so full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So he's written to them very boldly by way of reminder because of God's grace.
Some of Paul's writings is almost offensive because he's trying to get the people to listen and pay attention. And if you beat around the bush, people are going to put the best construction on that and miss the point. People in a congregation sometimes do the same thing. You know, you try to not offend anybody. You work around a point, mm-hmm. you know, especially in a sermon. And they miss the whole thing because you weren't bold enough to proclaim it so that they can understand it and apply it.
So he writes to them very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given by God. So he writes boldly because of God's grace to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul, what is the relationship of Paul to the Gentiles?
Well, right here he calls himself the minister. The Greek is latrin, which is different from the usual doulos.
Mm-hmm. Servant.
And it gets across more of the servant aspect rather than the slave aspect, the slave of Christ. He is the minister, the servant of Christ to the Gentiles. It's what we are. But the word here for Gentiles is ethne, instead of the usual. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking about the nations. And I think as we make our application, we don't just say the Gentiles, we say to the nations. Mm-hmm. The old Lutheran Layman's League slogan, you know, bringing Christ to the nations. And that's what we're all about. And that's what Paul was all about, was the idea of bringing Christ to the nations. And it was an offering of the Gentiles, offering to God through the faith, the complete sacrifice, the mm-hmm. giving of self to God. And this is what Paul was engendering, so that the people are making the sacrifice. They're making the offering.
Looking at some of the other translations I have here in front of me, looking at verse 16, to be a servant of Christ Jesus to people who are not Jewish, that was from God's Word, from the Young's literal translation, for my being a servant of Jesus Christ to the nations, as you said, there's the literal translation. All right, so in Christ Jesus, verse 17, then I have reason to be proud of my work for God. I'll let you tackle that one.
Well, you know, elsewhere in the scripture, Paul says, I boast of Christ. You know, I boast. And, you know, we immediately cringe on that because we're not supposed to brag. We're not, and to be proud. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we're proud of God. We're proud of who he is and what he has done, and we boast about, we brag about what God has accomplished. And this is something that comes from our faithfulness to him, our realization and our recognition. He talks earlier about knowledge, and this is the knowledge we have from the Word. As we get into the Word, we see more and more of God, and the more we see of him, mm-hmm. the more proud we are of him.
For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God.
Okay, except what Christ? What is the what? What is he talking about? What Christ Jesus has accomplished through me? And he's talking about his application of word and the word, which is mm-hmm. law and gospel. He's talking about the whole package that he has been delivering to the people throughout, and as the Holy Spirit works through that word to accomplish faith in their hearts and engender a life for Christ.
To bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God.
Well, there's all kinds of things that are happening in the world for us today, too. Signs and wonders of God working for us. Hardly a day goes by in which something doesn't happen, and I have to say, thank you, Lord, you got me out of that one. There's just constantly, God is at work in our lives. And when we have the faith, we have the eyes to see him at work in our lives. And so, too, Paul has powers and wonders. He had sometimes even extra special powers and wonders that he was performing in the name of Jesus Christ, functioning for God mm-hmm. so that the people could see in him God at work.
By the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ.
He's kind of putting limits on his ministry. He's talking, looking at the north-south limits here. Illyricum was the northern limit, and thinking of Jerusalem then as the southern limit. And everything in between, he's been really working to get the people to hear the word of God and to be able to respond to that word. A little bit later, he's talking about going to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's talking about the western limit of civilization. I mean, you can't walk much further west than Spain. You're all getting your feet wet. And so this is kind of what he's taking into geography here. This is where I want to get God's word out.
And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So now he's going to preach the gospel where Christ has, not where Christ has already been named.
He doesn't want to build on someone else's foundation simply because his expertise is in church planting. It's not necessarily in being the faithful pastor in a location. And there's nothing wrong with being a faithful pastor in a location. Mm-hmm. I mean, heaven knows we need those guys. But he's talking about what he is the guy who goes out with the seed and plants the seed and keeps moving on and lets somebody else take care of that other stuff. The important thing is that both use the same ruler, which is the word of God.
Mm.
He doesn't want to build on someone else's foundation, mm-hmm. but other people do. And it has to be always centered in the word of God. That building has always got to be God's word and God's work.
Hmm. Looking over this first section, verses 14 through 21, looking over that section, I know we've gone through it verse by verse, but putting it all together, looking at it as a whole, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this or anything that we missed as we went through this text so far?
This is where simply Paul is giving God the credit for whatever has been accomplished. It's easy for us to look back and say, look what I did,
mm-hmm.
In our own personal pride and vanity. And Paul doesn't really do that. He's sitting here saying, look at God. Look at what God has done. Yes, he used me, mm-hmm. and I'm pleased that he did that, just like we are. But the glory has to go to God. It always has to go to God.
All right. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today. We're studying with Pastor Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. We're in Romans chapter 15 today. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying Romans chapter 15. We'll pick up around verse 22. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
As you, Lord, have lived for others, so may we for others live. Freely have your gifts been granted, freely may your servants give. It helps us to understand the life of sanctification, this hymn entitled Son of God, Eternal Savior, and we will study it in depth with Pastor Mark Smith on the next Law and Gospel.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Well, Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, January 27th. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. We're in Romans chapter 15 today, about ready to pick up at verse 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be in service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. All right, let's take a look. This is the reason why I so often have been hindered from coming to you.
Paul is trying to keep contact with the people, and he's making an excuse here. I haven't been there, and now I know I should be, and so I'm going to, but right now I've got other ministries that I have to be doing, and so this is his introduction to his making the trip to Jerusalem. This is why I haven't been able to be there, because I've been busy.
But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and be helped on my journey there by you once I've enjoyed your company for a while. So I'm headed to Spain, going to stop by and visit you, and you can help me out while I'm there.
Exactly. You can help me out while I'm there. You know, throughout Paul's epistles, he gets these little encouragements for people to help him out, or to help out with an offering for the people in Jerusalem or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's got this little backdoor way of hitting on their conscience to that they would want to give and want to help.
I think for us, probably today, culturally, this is more awkward than it would have been in the time that he was writing this?
Absolutely, because today we are so dollar-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
For many, even professing Christians, the dollar is still their God. And when the pastor starts talking about how we need to be giving, we need that. It isn't that God needs it or that the church needs it. It's that the individual needs mm-hmm. to be making a sacrifice and saying, God, this is yours.
Well, we live in a very individualistic society. Everything is about me and my needs. There are still cultures in the world, and I think at this time that he was speaking, I don't know if it was necessarily as individualistic as we are individually minded. I don't think the worldview might not have been as individualized and so egotistical at that time as it is today in our culture. Everything's about me. Whereas there are cultures today that when you make a decision, you realize, or when you make a choice, you realize that that affects the whole community or your whole family or your whole congregation, your whole church. When we make decisions today, at least in the culture that I live in, when I make a decision, whatever the outcome of that is, it's only about me. I don't necessarily care about how that affects other people. Is that a fair description of the culture we live in?
Pretty much. I was thinking about that last night as I'm a chaplain with the Antonia Fire Department.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking around the room at all these guys and gals sitting around there who volunteer. I asked one, what do you do for a living? And he's telling me all the things that he does as his occupation. But then he has to donate all this time for training plus the emergency situations. Why does he do that? This is not something normal. This is something extra normal. And it amazes us to see people who give so much of themselves for their community.
Well, it's not normal for our culture, for our sinful
right.
old Adam. But who knows? Did he give a reason why he volunteers in that way?
I didn't ask.
Oh.
I was just simply observing.
I see. I thought perhaps you asked. All right. So this is the reason why I've been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, I'm coming to you. Hopefully you can help me as I go on my way to Spain. And then verse 20, and once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So he's not just passing through quickly. He intends to spend some time there.
Yes, he's bringing the word of God to them. He has longed to come to them. It isn't just for a social call, but it is to bring the word of Christ, to bring the gospel of God, so that the people can grow in their knowledge and grow in their desire to serve the Lord.
Verse 25, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. So I do have some things to deliver to Jerusalem. I have some aid to bring to Jerusalem because Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor.
Here again we see Paul's faithfulness to his people, the Jewish people, but especially the Jewish Christians. And so as he makes his rounds in Asia, he's telling the people about the famine that they're experiencing in Jerusalem and encouraging them to reach out to help them, so that as they were helped through the faithfulness of the people in Jerusalem spiritually, now you guys have a chance to help the people in Jerusalem physically.
And they were pleased, verse 27, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings, just as you were saying. If they've received blessings, they may share blessings, whether spiritual blessings or material blessings.
Examples of Christian generosity is what Paul is working with here. Macedonia and Achaia, here these people are in Greece and Albania. They're really just doing everything. And it's kind of like a little hidden message in there. You can do it too.
When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. So once I have completed what I'm supposed to do there, deliver the goods that have been collected, then I will leave for Spain and I'll come by to visit you on the way.
Right. And that business about I will leave for Spain by way of you. There again is that by way of you, by your help, by your assistance, you're going to be sending me on my way. He needs help. And this is something that we in our society don't do very much either, is ask for help. While we don't want to give help as much as we really should, we also are too proud to accept help. And Paul here says, no, I need help, and it really is to your benefit that you help.
So just another, for us today, this seems foreign in a sense to rely on someone else's help, because it's just culturally it's different for us, because we're an individualistic society and I should be able to do it on my own. And since I can't, then that's a sign of weakness or instability or some sort of lacking on my part if I can't do it on my own.
How many societies in history have celebrated independence? I mean, we have a special day to celebrate that.
sure, yeah.
And we make such a big deal out of being independent when actually we aren't. We are terribly dependent on each other, and even more so on the Lord.
Well, absolutely. So, let's see. Verse 29, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ.
And there again, the blessing of Christ. As Christ is working through the Romans, they will want to help him. And so he's talking here again, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I come, you know, and I will be blessed, and I am blessed by being able to be there. It is always what God is giving and what God is working, as we saw in the first part of this passage.
Interesting. Verse 29, looking at some other translations, I know that when I come to you, I will bring the full blessing of Christ. Or, that was good, the God's Word translation. But looking at The literal translation, in the fullness of the blessing of the good news of Christ, I shall come.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, verse 30. Shall we go on to verse 30?
Go ahead.
All right. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea.
And in here, too, we are too proud to ask someone to pray for us sometimes. Again, we want to do it on our own. When we have a problem, we don't want other people to know about it. It's very, very secretive.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had surgery yesterday, and they've got this big thing on there about this new law that everything has to be done in secret. Nobody can know about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want other people to know, because we're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be strong on our own, and we can't be. We need Christ, and this is what Paul is saying here. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who makes it happen. And the love of the Holy Spirit. This is God.
Mm.
This is not just another guy who was walking around. It's the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I appeal by them that we can strive together. This is the congregation striving together, working together to accomplish the will of God. But I want your prayers. I want you to be aware of my need and to go to God with me and ask God to bless this endeavor.
Specifically, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea.
Paul has been to Ephesus before he wrote this. And in Ephesus, he was warned by one of the members who had a vision that Paul was going to be arrested.
Mm.
And he was going to have a lot of serious troubles when he got to Jerusalem. And he did. This is where he ends up with a couple of years in Caesarea, in the jail there, and in chains. And he has his wonderful speech. You know, I wish that all were as I am, except for these chains.
Hmm.
And by the grace of God and by his wisdom, Paul ends up in Rome, because he appealed to Caesar, and that was his ticket to get a boat ride to Rome.
And that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company.
I don't know that there's a greater joy in the world than being God's servant, helping people. And this is what he's saying to them. I'm mm-hmm. giving you the opportunity to experience this joy as you help me on my way. This joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven, our joy of knowing that we have peace with God, our joy of knowing that I don't have to be afraid of God. I'm going to face him someday, and I don't have to face him with fear.
Mm-hmm.
I can face him with awe, you know, and wonder, and love, and trust, and faith, and true joy.
May the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Well, you know, we talk about the peace the angels sing about on Christmas, only it's not the kind of peace people normally think of. It's not peace with the Russians or the Chinese or the Koreans or the ISIS. It's a peace with God and a peace with one another as Christians. This is something that is overlooked so much in the congregation. We find strife in the congregation, not strife in working together, but strife working against one another sometimes in the congregation, because we're not receiving and putting to work the peace that God gives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, we really need to concentrate on, is being able to listen to one another and not always thinking that we have the best solution to whatever the problem happens to be.
Oh, so every individual's idea isn't necessarily always the best solution?
My idea of an agreeable person is someone who agrees with me.
We all often think that, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this Romans 15 text as we look at it as a whole?
Paul is making plans here. And in making his plans, he goes to God and asks for God's guidance. And as God is helping him along with his plans, as he has been all throughout his ministry, he gives the glory to God. He says, God, please help me. Mm-hmm. When God helps him, he says, thank you, God, and then tells others, look what God did. And this is the kind of thing that we need to be doing when we are making plans. Lord, help me. My wife and I have devotions every morning, and in our prayers every morning are for our family members, children and grandchildren, who are not yet married. Lord, please provide for them a spouse who will encourage them in their faith and who will be encouraged by our family in their faith in Christ. You know, because these are the plans that we have for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
How much control do we have over that? We wish we had more control, but we don't. And it's got to be a prayer to God and say, God, these are our plans. We hope you will carry them out.
And it's better anyway that God is in control rather than us, right?
Oh, heavens, yes. I think of, you know, the one guy who's praying for rain and the other guy who's got a picnic planned and is praying for no rain.
Yeah, it's better that God be in control than us. Well, we've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. Pastor Liebman, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study this text in Romans chapter 15 today. Looking forward to morning prayer coming up in a little while as well, hearing that sermonette there from you as well.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the invitation.
Certainly. God bless you and all the saints there at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart. Please give our regards to your lovely bride as she recovers from her surgery, and also to Pastor Meissner there at Emmanuel in Barnhart. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Ministry Highlight. We're going to hear from more LCMS schools. Hope you can join us for that. I believe we're headed out to Trinity Lutheran School in Alma, Missouri. Stick around for more His Time coming up in just a little bit right after this break.